We gonna take it back a little old school on this one right here. Let's go. Come on now.
And with all that's within me,
oh, that's within me.
God. Did you get that? Over me. He said, let's speak this over me. No more sickness. No more sadness. Over me as a sister. Jesus reminds us many, many times in his word that what we say reveals what's in our heart. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, your believing right gives birth. It gives birth to revelation. And your revelation gives birth to your miracle. Your miracle gives birth to your celebration. Praise God. Romans 10:10. With the heart, one believes unto righteousness. But with the mouth, with your mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Now, I'm going to share this message with you. But there's a message that goes in front of this message. And I'm probably doing this backwards. But sometimes God will take you from the back of a thing to the front. The message that goes in front of this message is called, I think I named it. It's a lot. It's about 300 pages. As a matter of fact, it's 299. It's actually 305 pages. But you know how I do it, big print and all of that, what I'm emphasizing to myself, what I want to get in my heart. So the front of this is actually 300 pages, and the name of it is Risk of Faith. I was trying to find the booklet I wrote called Faith Will Make You Look Foolish. That's what I was looking for. When I found this, and I realized when I wrote this years ago, but God said, this message today is follows this. So I gotta share this one today. If you over on Spreaker, you'll notice I wrote in the chat room, I put carpe diem, carpe diem, carpe diem, carpe diem in there. I just wrote carpe diem. Carpe diem means seize the day. Write that. I was thinking about a poem that I learned in English lit class, in an English lit class. And I don't know what made me think about that poem. I was thinking about my last name, since I've been married to Brother Joe Shepherd. And I thought about this poem. The name of the poem was The Passionate Shepherd to His Love. And I was trying to figure out, okay, God, how does that poem relate to right now? Well, carpe diem means seize the day. That's just part of its meaning, but seize this day. It means make the most of the present time. It means make the best use of this present moment or time And it implies, you know, enjoying life while you can. And as I was thinking about it, there's no message that is timelier. And then I saw God taking me back in time again, back to the spirit of distraction. But I didn't know how he was going to open it up. This carpe diem, as I said, seize the day. You see, brothers and sisters, either we're going to rise up and seize the day for the glory of God, or we stand the chance of letting this opportunity, letting this opportunity pass us by. So I began to think about that. You see, a lot of people walk around with bitterness and anger and regret over, like, what might have been or how it might have happened, or even this happened 30, 40 years ago, and they are locked. They locked to the point that they cannot grab a hold of or seize what God has for them right now. Right now. So as I was thinking about it, and I was just, okay, God, what you want? What are you trying to tell me so I can get this? And the Holy Spirit said, how much, Erica, are you willing to risk becoming all that God wants you to be? I said, and I start sweating and I start thinking, I really don't know what this means here. And so just kind of put down on a piece of paper, think about this. How much am I willing to risk becoming all that God wants me to be? And the way the Holy Spirit works with a lot of us is when you take that piece of paper and you type in your computer or you write those first words, then he'll begin to give you the rest. You see, I was thinking about this. In this spiritual realm of faith, what you risk in Jesus, or what you risk for Jesus or by Jesus, is what you're going to get. Those who risk little in Jesus generally achieve little in Jesus. Those who risk the most in Christ Jesus gain the most. Are you with me? So then I began to think about this thing, and I began to think about the heroes, the heroes of the Bible. I like to look at heroes, you know, because, like, heroes, you have heroes in life and you have heroes in situations. And, you know, you have heroes in the military, too. But you got heroes in the Bible. Spirit said then, that shouldn't surprise you, Erica, because the greatest heroes in the Bible were also the greatest risk takers for for God. And the Holy Spirit again emphasized that that should not surprise me, because your whole life of faith, my whole life of faith, is naturally risky. My whole life of faith is a life of risk. And that's when he told me to go back and look in my USB drive and find that message I wrote on. I tried to find the little booklet first. I didn't find the booklet, but I found a whole 309 pages that I wrote on risk and faith. So then I put that down. I emailed that over to my computer where the printer is, and I printed it out. Then the Holy Spirit said, now go back to the Bible, and I want to show you some men and women who did great things for God, and they were all, without exception, risk takers. They were people who weren't afraid to lay it all on the line for God. And I said, okay. And I thought I heard the Holy Spirit say, it's time now for us to seize the day for the glory of God. Can I get about 12 people to post that in the chat room? It's time now for us to seize the day for the glory of God. I'm talking about risk takers. I'm talking about people in the Bible who weren't afraid to lay it all on the line for God. You know, most of us know about Noah. Noah, the preacher who built an ark. We know about Abraham, who set out for regions unknown because God had promised to show him a better land. We've all heard about Moses at the age of 80. Led the children of Israel out of Egypt. We all know about Joshua and the walls of Jericho. We know about David and Goliath. And we know about Daniel and the lion's den. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Ghost is saying, it's now time for us to seize the day for the glory of God. The Holy Spirit said, I'm going to show you another hero now, Erica. You're going to recognize his name. But I'm wondering if you ever really looked at his story. I said, who, Holy Spirit? He said, Elijah. Elijah. He said, Elijah, hear me this morning. He said, Elijah, onto the stage of biblical history at a low ebb in the history of Israel. The nation was almost completely given over to idolatry, and God raised up a mountain man to confront the evil men. I said, listen to me. The Holy Spirit say, now get up and look out the window. Get up, leave the sanctuary, and go look out the window in the fellowship hall. So I got up. I went and looked out the window in the fellowship hall. And you know what I saw? This church looks over all of Dalton. I could see the lights. tricky because you go up and you don't know you're climbing because it's so well constructed and paved. And so I came back. I said, God, that was really beautiful, me looking out the window and realizing I'm up on this mountain and I can see all the way to downtown Dalton. He said, yeah. He said, you know what, Erica? I said, what? Now, I know some of y'all might think it's strange to have dialogue with God. And you know what? I think it's strange, too. I think it's strange that everybody isn't dialoguing with him. That's what I think is strange. He said, so I know I was talking to the Holy Spirit then. You got to know who you're talking to. He said, when Elijah stepped on the stage of biblical history, the nation was almost completely given over to idolatry. He said, and guess what? I said, yeah, Lord. He said, God raised up a mountain man. I know you don't worry about it. I'm all right. He said, God raised up a mountain man to confront the evil men who control the government of the nation. I said, okay, Holy Ghost, I'm really enjoying this one. He said, look at Elijah. He said, Elijah took on the prophets of Baal and won the contest on Mount Carmel. He said, Elijah, in the name of a sovereign God, humbled the posture of a nation's idol worship. He said, Elijah brought fire from wet wood and rain from a dry-eyed heaven. Elijah, Erica, was used by me to bring the recognition of Jehovah from pagan lips. I said, okay. He said, Elijah was rough around the edges. He said, Elijah did things that most people would find peculiar. He said, but Elijah had no fear, except he got discouraged and ran away. I said, okay. He said, Elijah, the Holy Spirit was teaching me about the nature and showing me the character of Elijah, a prophet of God, by the way. He said, Elijah could be gentle to a widow and tough as nails with the false prophet. Holy Spirit said, Elijah was far from perfect. Sometimes he got discouraged, and sometimes he did foolish things. Sometimes Elijah gave in to self-pity. This is what the Holy Spirit wants you to get this morning. But when Elijah was in his prophet element, he was awesome. I said, wow. And then I was saying, like, I was thinking, Elijah probably wouldn't have been the easiest person to be around. And the Holy Spirit was saying, yeah, you're right. Because look at this, Erica. Elijah was feared by kings and false prophets. Elijah was cheered and beloved by the young men he trained. He said, Elijah was the talk of the nation. He said, look at Elijah, Erica. He said, Elijah would suddenly appear, deliver a message from God, and then vanish, seemingly vanish for months at a time. He said, but Elijah exploded onto the scene at the time he was needed. God put him on center stage and allowed Elijah to come and go as he God pleased. He said, can you imagine? Yeah, Laura, can you imagine? He said, Elijah riled up the king and his evil wife and called down fire from heaven. He said, Elijah humiliated the false prophets, and then Elijah slaughtered them. He said, but can you imagine again, Erica? I'm thinking again, oh boy, this is this sanctified imagination here God is calling on. And in the aftermath of his greatest victory, Elijah ran away and prayed that God would take his life. And at that point, I was thinking, what a complicated man Elijah must have been. I was thinking it must have been hard for people to try to figure out what Elijah was thinking. And worse than that, I was thinking it must have been hard for people to try to know what Elijah was doing. But you see, what was important is that Elijah was a man of God, and the Holy Spirit said to me, look out over the mountains, a mountain man. He wasn't no glorified nothing. He was a mountain man. When God needed someone to seize the day, he called on Elijah, and his mountain man answered the call. You see, brothers and sisters, Elijah, as the Holy Spirit pointed it out to me, was a faith-filled, big risk-taker for God. Elijah wasn't afraid to look foolish in the eyes of his countrymen. Elijah's best moment, most probably in his whole life, came through the showdown with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Understand this. Hear me, because I'm going somewhere with this morning. Elijah's showdown with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. One man, one mountain man. He wasn't a rich man that we know of, but yet he possessed all. One mountain man versus 850 bad, evil, wicked men. And Elijah, God's mountain man, God's risk taker, with God's help, beat them all. Yay, Elijah! He beat them all today. We're entering into, and we have actually been in confrontation with the hidden spirits of Baal. B-A-A-L. Baal, having launched guerrilla warfare spirits against us Christians, against us believers, Baal, when the United States of America was dedicated to Baal, B.C., before Christ, it is written in the cave in Oklahoma. It's written in the cave of Maine. It's written in the cave of Texas. It's written in the cave of Vermont. Americans built an arch to Baal, posted it in Central Park. The evangelicals fought Baal. they thought they had overcome Baal. But some sorcerers and some wizards and some witches called the spirit of Baal back. And the spirit of Baal had a legal right to come into America because the land had been claimed for Baal. And Baal, the God of many, the Lord of the storms, the God of chaos, the God of distraction, has been waging a warfare and fighting against us through the spirit of distraction. You see, God was showing me Elijah, telling me the voice of God's mountain man is echoing across the centuries and saying to us, the men and women of this day, seize the day. We are here because the Lord God has called us to be here for such a time as this. What I'm telling you today, I'm going to prove it to you. When I finish with the book on the spirit of distraction, I can prove it, every inch of it. We are here by God's direction, so that we may know him better and find out specifically what he wants us to do, what he has called us to do next. You see, brothers and sisters, God is not a God of the status quo. First, God calls us. Then he fills us. Then he teaches us. Then he cleans us out. And then he refills us with himself. And then he refills us with himself. And then he refills us with himself. And then he shakes us up. And then he uses us to shake up his world. That has always been God's method. What you mean, Erica? Listen, when God wanted to change the world, he told Noah to do something he had never done before. Build an ark to prepare for something he'd never seen before, a flood. When God wanted to bring forth a great nation, he called a successful middle-aged businessman named Abram and told him to leave Ur, Chaldees. When God wanted to deliver his people, he found a man slow of speech named Moses and sent him to talk to a Pharaoh. When the Lord God, hallelujah, wanted someone to hide the spies in Jericho, he found a prostitute named Rahab. When God needed someone, Goliath, a giant, he chose a shepherd boy. When God, listen to me this morning, when God wanted to deliver his people from destruction, he chose a young girl named Esther. Brothers and sisters, hear me. When God wanted some men in his inner circle, in God's inner circle, God chose fishermen. God chose tax collectors. God chose a loudmouth fisherman named Peter. And he chose two brothers called the Sons of Thunder. And he told them, Drop everything and follow him. He told them, I'm going to change your life. Drop everything and follow me. Nobody wants to change, brothers and sisters. Nobody. But I got a word for you this morning. He propelled us out of our comfort zones. It is Jesus that is forcing us out of our ruts and cracks. It is Jesus that is destabilizing our routine. Jesus is challenging our priorities. And Jesus calling you. Seize this day to make the most of our present time. Make the best use of your present moment. Jesus is wanting you to enjoy in God, in him, in his Holy Spirit. Please understand this if you can. I'm trying to tell you something. It is Jesus that has disrupted your plans. It is Jesus that is causing you to ask new questions and seek new answers to old questions. It is God, through Jesus, and by the power of his own Holy Spirit, that is introducing us to a whole new set of problems. Problems, brothers and sisters, that God already knows that only change, only your changing, my changing, will open these doors, providing new opportunities in him. You see, God knows that changing stretches us in ways that we don't want to be stretched. Holy Spirit say God knows that changing upsets our apple carts. Spirit say God knows that changing kicks us out of our old patterns and old ways of doing things. And the Holy Spirit say, God knows that changing is necessary in order to reposition our life destinies towards him, not away from his goodness. God knows that change is generally a good thing, but that it often doesn't seem that way when we're facing it, or just starting to go through change. The Holy Spirit wants me to tell you this morning, especially with the spirits of distraction continually working against you and I, trying to prevent us from seeing, hearing, and most of all, receiving the covenantal benefits of God and his best for our lives. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit says, seize the day. Make the most of this present time in God. Make the best use of your present time in Christ Jesus, and by the power of his own Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, you will overcome. Today, seize the day, seize it, take it, utilize it for the kingdom of God is here at hand. You must seize the day. Time as this.
Come on.